Keir Starmer has not shut down GB News, where Mr. Farage has his own show, just because Mr. Farage has used his airtime to call for banning peaceful protests that he disagrees with. No one has stopped him from going on Russian TV 17 times and saying also and repeating that the one world political leader he most admired was Vladimir Putin, even though Vladimir Putin is a war criminal and a dictator. This hearing is just a drive-by hit against a strong Democratic ally to benefit a Donald Trump sycophant and wannabe. Thank you kindly, Mr. Chairman, and welcome to our witnesses. I imagine that in a hearing about threats to freedom of speech abroad, we might hear from a Russian dissident about Putin's massive violations of political freedom, or the death of Alexei Navalny in prison, or perhaps a Chinese pro-democracy activist about President Xi's attacks on free speech in Hong Kong, Tibet, Xinjiang, or the persecution trial of Jimmy Lai, or maybe a journalist about the Saudi Crown Prince's assassination of Jamal Khashoggi, the Washington Post writer who demanded freedom from religious persecution and oppression in Saudi Arabia. But no, the dictators of the world have got nothing to fear from this hearing. The Republicans called it to attack our Democratic allies in Europe. The star witness is not a human rights leader like Navalny, but a far-right, pro-Putin politician who leads the UK Reform Party, a party that has four members out of 650 members in the parliament. He calls England an authoritarian regime while saying that Vladimir Putin is the world leader he admires the most. Well, this hearing mimics Vice President J.D. Vance, who went to the Munich Security Conference in February. In the first 2 minutes of his speech, whitewashed the world's leading autocratic regimes, proclaiming that the threat that worries him is not Russia. It's not China, he said, but rather it's our European allies. Amazing. Republicans are promoting far-right parties in Europe, like Alternative for Deutschland, Reform UK, and Rassemblement National Français, and ignoring massive repression in Russia, China, Pakistan, Saudi Arabia, and among all the autocrats of the world. Republicans are vilifying European liberal democracies simply for engaging in the kind of line-drawing exercises that we Americans engage in under our First Amendment with respect to the epidemic of child pornography, protecting children from other harmful content, defamatory speech, online scams and false advertising, and speech inciting riots and imminent lawless action. All forms of speech that the First Amendment does not protect and whose tricky contours must still be drawn by law. We could have a meaningful hearing on this complicated subject, but this hearing is just a drive-by hit against a strong Democratic ally to benefit a Donald Trump sycophant and wannabe. But it's even worse than this. Not only are colleagues ignoring intensifying repression in the world's dictatorships, they're also trying to distract the world from the attack on freedom taking place right here in America every single day. Americans aren't worried about the EU or the Online Safety Act in the UK. We're not worried about white nationalists not having enough license to incite lynch mobs to set immigrants on fire in their bedrooms. Americans are worried that Donald Trump is working to rewrite and whitewash American history in our museums, our textbooks, and our national parks, to destroy PBS, NPR, and public broadcasting, to ban books in our libraries, and to censor any news stories critical of him by installing political henchmen in private broadcast rooms. Americans know that academic freedom is in danger when the administration cancels and withholds billions of dollars in scientific and medical research funding from American universities, even for urgent life-saving studies about breast cancer or heart attacks, as a way to force schools to impose government orthodoxy on curriculum, hiring, admissions, and any student and faculty speech that MAGA considers politically incorrect. Americans see Trump trying to harass, intimidate, control, and shut down the press like ABC, CBS, NBC, NPR, and PBS. The Republican-controlled FCC essentially blackmailed media companies Skydance and Paramount into agreeing to install a spy, a monitor, a minder, I think the Brits might say, to police CBS news programs to make sure that they are being sufficiently Trumpy in giving us the news in order to get approval of a merger from FCC. Meanwhile, Trump sued 60 Minutes and CBS personally for $20 billion for the frivolous cause of action that he thought in interview with Kamala Harris was edited too favorably, and then walked away with a cool $16 million in a shakedown settlement for his library, all part of a now familiar pattern. When Trump doesn't like the news, he sues the broadcaster and unleashes the FCC on them until they pay up and agree to a government spy stationed in their office. Free speech is so much in danger in the U.S. today that if the government tries to violate our rights, we might not even be able to find a lawyer to defend ourselves because Trump is systematically exacting retribution against law firms that represent anyone on the other side of a case against him. Look, our country loves free speech. We fight for free speech. We fought for free speech. And we know it's in danger when students who are lawfully in the United States are taken off the street and arrested without warrants by masked federal agents in unmarked cars for writing an article or attending a rally that Stephen Miller doesn't like. Free speech is in danger when visitors to our country have their social media accounts screened at the border for any criticism of Donald Trump. Free speech is in danger when To Kill a Mockingbird, The Handmaid's Tale, 1984, and The Kite Runner are banned from our schools and libraries across the country, and even families defending our freedom abroad have to fight for their kids' right to read freely in public schools run by the Department of Defense. Freedom's in danger when the administration tramples the civil service rights of hundreds of thousands of nonpartisan expert civil servants. These civil servants have been protected against political discrimination for more than a century to maintain the excellence and independence of our federal workforce, but they're now being fired simply for doing their jobs, like prosecuting violent criminals and insurrectionists who try to overthrow our government and attack our police officers, or because they honestly gave honest economic information and labor statistics to the public. These honorable civil servants are being fired because they won't be the political hacks Trump demands that they be. When private comments made by federal employees are scrutinized for anti-Trump bias and they can lose their jobs because of it, then we've entered the realm not just of Vladimir Putin, but of Joseph Stalin. Now, Mr. Trump and Mr. Farage both claim they're protectors of free speech, but they only want to protect speech they agree with. In the UK, Mr. Farage is openly promoting the abolition of the Human Rights Act of 1998 to be replaced with a British Bill of Rights that limits the right of speech, free speech to British citizens and legally sanctioned residents. He complains that racist threats against immigrants are not protected free speech, while he proposes to strip migrants, tourists, and perhaps even visiting American congresspeople of any free speech rights at all. I had my own close encounter with that when Mr. Farage and his team presented for more than an hour in a conversation we had about free speech. And after 3 minutes of talking, he cut me off and terminated the meeting because he didn't like what I was saying. That's the kind of free speech he's committed to. There is a free speech crisis in America today, but there's no free speech crisis in Britain. UK Prime Minister Keir Starmer has not shut down GB News, where Mr. Farage has his own show, just because Mr. Farage has used his airtime to call for banning peaceful protests that he disagrees with. No one has stopped him from going on Russian TV 17 times and saying also and repeating that the one world political leader he most admired was Vladimir Putin, even though Vladimir Putin is a war criminal and a dictator who has regularly interfered in other countries' democratic elections. No one has stopped Mr. Farage from parroting Putin's absurd talking points, like when Farage claimed that NATO, the U.S. and Britain provoked this war in Ukraine. For a man who fashions himself as some kind of a free speech martyr, Mr. Farage seems most at home with the autocrats and dictators of the world who are crushing freedom on earth. Mr. Farage wants to get rid of the Online Safety Act in his country, a law shepherded by the Conservative Party and implemented by the Labor Party, which bans child pornography online, protects children from harmful content, forbids non-consensual pornography and other unlawful content. He should go and advance the positions he's taking here in Congress today, in Parliament, which is meeting today, if he's serious about it. To the people of UK who think this Putin-loving free speech imposter and Trump sycophant will protect freedom in your country, come on over to America and see what Trump and MAGA are doing to destroy our freedom, kidnap college students off the street, ban books from our libraries, militarize our police and unleash them against our communities, take over our universities, wreck our professional civil service, and turn the government into a money-making machine for Trump and his family. You might think twice before you let Mr. Farage make Britain great again.
Thank you, Mr. Price. The Right Honourable Member of Parliament, Mr. Farage, is recognized.
Well, thank you very much indeed. Good morning, everybody. Thank you, Chairman Jordan, for inviting me here today. And it turns out, with news in the last 48 hours, to have been really rather timely. I'm delighted to reacquaint with the charming Mr. Raskin. That was a delightful testimony you gave me earlier on with your speech. But hey, that's fine. You can say what you like. I don't care. Because that's what free speech is. And in a sense, this has all been going wrong now for a couple of decades. We've kind of forgotten the Voltairean principles that we'll fight and defend to the death your right to say something that we fundamentally disagree with. That is the absolute foundation, if you think about it, of free speech, of democracy, of living in freedom. It's kind of why we fought two world wars at massive, massive cost to defend that very principle for ourselves and for many, many others around the country. And I first became worried about all this with cancel culture. You know, the idea that we can't have this speaker go to a university because some people might be offended by what he or she have to say. It is important to note that there is not a parent in the United Kingdom, and I would guess it's the same for America too, that is not concerned about content their children as minors can find on the internet. Not a single parent that is not concerned about this. But at the moment, we're not finding the right solutions. I do myself begin to think that hardware might be one of the solutions. That laptops, that headsets could be programmed so that many, many apps and many, many services simply aren't available from these devices. But what we've done is to go down the legislative route. And it's extraordinary that, you know, I come from the land of Magna Carta. I come from the land that gave us the mother of parliaments. And it doesn't give me any great joy to be sitting in America and describing the really awful authoritarian situation that we have now sunk into. J.D. Vance did us all a service at the Munich Security Conference back in February this year. He really got this debate up and running, and it's a vital one. We've run on since then. The Online Safety Act was put in place by the last Conservative government. I don't doubt for a minute their good intentions, but sometimes the road to hell is paved with those good intentions. And we are now where we are. We have a couple of very famous cases. We, of course, have Lucy Connolly, who put out an intemperate tweet after the savage murder of those three beautiful young girls. She herself, a mother who had lost a child. It was intemperate. It was wrong. But she removed it 3.5 hours later, sentenced to 31 months in prison. She's now out, having served 40% of the time. I wanted to bring her with me today as living proof of what can go wrong. Sadly, the restrictions that have been put on her banned her from making the trip, which is a very, very great shame. And we, of course, have the extraordinary events that we understood yesterday of Graham Linehan, the comedy writer, comedic writer. And he put out some tweets months ago when he was in Arizona. And months later, he arrives at Heathrow Airport to be met by 5 armed police. Armed police, not a big deal in the USA, a very big deal in the United Kingdom. 5 of them. And he was arrested and taken away for questioning. He's not even a British citizen. He's an Irish citizen. This could happen to any American man or woman that goes to Heathrow that has said things online that the British government and British police don't like. It is a potentially big threat to tech bosses, to many, many others. this legislation we've got will damage trade between our countries, threaten free speech across the West because of the knock-on rollout effects of this legislation from us or from the European Union. So I've come today as well to be a klaxon, to say to you, don't allow piece by piece this to happen here in America. And you would be doing us and yourselves and all freedom-loving people a favour if your politicians and your businesses said to the British government, you've simply got this wrong. At what point did we become North Korea? Well, I think the Irish comedy writer found that out 2 days ago at Heathrow Airport. This is a genuinely worrying, concerning and shocking situation. And I thank you for the opportunity to come here today.
Thank you, Mr. Well said. Thank you, Mr. Farage.